The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Alongside, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Still to come this hour alone, Wes Reynolds. Standing by, we'll talk NFL draft as well. The NFL draft, 10 days away.
10 days away.
It's unbelievable.
Sorry, I'm looking up WrestleMania ticket prices. This is insane, Gil.
We got to get to that momentarily with Wes. We get tweets at Beating the Book. James Sott, any fun futures for Stuttgart and or Barcelona?
Said Castellano.
Also not a golf fan, but watching Rory walking through the crowd after he won was pretty emotional. Great hit, guys. Thank you. Iga's plus money at a tournament that she has won multiple times. Give me that. I saw a plus 140, but I'm told there's a plus 175 out there on her somewhere. MGM. J-Rod was all over it, but I'll be on Iga in Stuttgart. Jason H11. Hey, Kelly, be careful when criticizing the traditions of the Masters tournament. They can take away your viewing rights if you say anything negative.
Yeah, my app's not working all of a sudden. Weird.
Kevin Ryan. Gil, oh, this is the reason. Gil, no amateur made the cut, hence no presentation. Chance Copperpot. Masters almost felt like Super Bowl 49. That's the one where Malcolm Butler picks off Russell Wilson at the goal line. The Seahawks decide to pass the football. He says, only difference is Rory threw it out of the back of the end zone instead of right at Butler. He lived to fight another down and won the Masters. That was a comparison. And Jeff Holdorf backs it up. He says, in order for the low amateur to get to the Butler cabin ceremony, they were required to make the cut. All five amateurs failed to make the cut, so no soup for Justin Hastings. Seems odd, though. Low amateur is still the low amateur, he says.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Jeff.
I agree. Like that, you're still the low amateur.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
S.N. Wright, Stephen N. Wright. As a Southern man, your Southern man imitation is getting better with each passing Masters, a tradition like no other. Kelly called Rory first on the air.
Oh, well, or you heard it first, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Good for you. And then
I was on Rory all week, yeah.
Jeff Holdorf. Rory on the great reset after missing the putt on 18 to go to the playoff. His caddy and dear friend Harry says to Rory as they hop on the cart, well, we would have definitely taken this position on Monday. The perfect words. That's right. He did say that. Absolutely right. Wes Reynolds joins us now, the glue that holds this whole operation together. Long Shots co-host and a man who has authored many a golf future for cashing. Joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. First things first, before we get to golf, Kelly just brought it up. WrestleMania. I know this is near and dear to your heart. Are you paying? What is the cost of this now?
I just looked up for what a single ticket, because it is here in Las Vegas this weekend, Saturday night. $471 is the cheapest ticket I can find on Ticketmaster right now.
$471.
You can sit upper deck for $1,000.
Oh, sweet. They do know it's fake, right? They're aware of that?
You got to be careful, man. I tell you, one of the first things I learned in sports radio is how many dudes who work in sports radio are obsessed with wrestling.
Speaking of one, Wes Reynolds. Wes, are you pumped for WrestleMania or not so much?
I am actually not all that pumped for WrestleMania because of what you mentioned, the ticket prices being exorbitant. And I really don't think the build has been all that great for the card. And now WrestleMania, it's not just one night. It's now two nights where you have full cards and you have full pre-shows. And it's a long night. Like it is a long night of sports entertainment or pro wrestling. I'm not a sports entertainment guy. I'm a wrestling fan.
You know.
That hell with all this new nomenclature and this corporate BS.
Hey Wes, who's currently the most entertaining wrestler out there? Like if I was just checking in on the WWE, are we still in the WWE or WWF? If I was just checking in for the first time, who's the most entertaining guy out there?
Well, the guy that's in the main event, the guy that's a champion, is one Cody Rhodes, who is the son of the American Dream, the late great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And that was the whole allure of last year's card. He's got to finish the story, you know, and finally win the championship. Well, now he has it. And it's like the storylines just aren't as fresh this year. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people here, though. I'll be interested to see what the final numbers are. If travel has been reportedly been slightly down, at least in Las Vegas to start the year. So we shall see. But there'll be stuff everywhere. There'll be shows around town. There'll be conventions all over town. You can do meet and greets and pay a lot of money to get autographs. I do not do that. So I don't know what my WrestleMania plan is going to be. Maybe I'll wait and see if those ticket prices drop.
When I was a kid, there was this guy, St. Jones. Are you familiar with this, Kelly?
Nope.
St. Jones was this wrestler, and his fights would always follow the same script. He would be getting crushed, and then he would mount this unbelievable comeback, and I'd be going crazy watching it. We had it like Saturday mornings on TV, and then he would get crushed at the end. It was the same thing, and I got snookered into it every time.
Special Delivery Jones.
Yes.
he was like what they call a higher level, the term jobber, or enhancement talent.
Ah.
And what that means is the guy that goes out there and loses and puts over like the big stars on the show.
I was devastated every time.
Is The Undertaker still wrestling? Because I feel like he's been wrestling for like 40 years. He's the only one I feel like I still know.
He is not. He is now officially retired, but I'm sure he will be in town in full Undertaker gear at some point.
All right, Wes, give me just forget betting for a second. Give me your historical perspective on this round yesterday. As far as final rounds of Masters and Majors in general go, where does that rank for you in terms of drama?
Well, it's going to be hard to be topped with what we saw yesterday. And we knew if and when Rory finally accomplished this, if and when he finally won the career Grand Slam, we knew it wasn't going to be boring. We knew it wasn't going to be like, okay, he's just going to run away with it. Because I think at one point in the round, he got up five shots and people were doing the Vince Carter gifts. It's over, you know, like he did in the dunk contest. I was like, no, it's not. Something's going to happen. I have been down this road before. We have all been down this road before. So something was going to happen. What happened was he did a practical thing and laid up on 13 and then hit one of the worst wedges that you ever saw right into the water. So I think this has to be up there, certainly with the 1986 when Jack won at age 46 and the Vern Lundquist yes sir call,
yes,
where he hits that putt on 16 and the 2019, of course, Tiger emerging from that large pack. I think we actually watched that together, if I recall, one year, Gil,
yes,
at a sports book here in town.
That's
where,
right,
Tiger came in, Molinari hits it in the creek, and the floodgates open. And there's Tiger Woods there at the end. So, yeah, that certainly had a lot of drama. And then you would look at Watson and Sink at Turnberry for the Open when Watson was 60 years old and we thought he was actually going to win the Open Championship. Did not happen. But this is certainly at least top five for me.
And you, so if we can get a window into the mind of Wes Reynolds, you did not, correct me if I'm wrong here, you did not have Rory pre-flop, but you got in on him live Thursday and Friday. What was it for you? I believe you did Thursday and Friday. Friday, we get it. But if you did it Thursday, what was it about Thursday where you were like, I'm taking this now?
Yeah, I guess I have the distinction of having the worst number on Rory McIlroy at the network, Gil. I did not get what you guys got because I was waiting to see what kind of start he got off to, because that's what's held Rory back at the Masters. I had a top 10 going in and I was like, yeah, I'm going to have some kind of piece of him. I just want to know when to time it right. And I timed it totally wrong because I played it after the front nine on Thursday, where he got up to a 3-under start. It's like, okay, this is what he's been waiting for. Because if you go back since 2019, he was 7 back of the leader. Then the next year he was 10 back of the leader. Then he was 11 back of the leader. Then he was 6 back. Then he was 7 back. Then he was 6 back. And this is of the first round leader. So it's like he gets 3-under and then he's 4-under in the fairway on the 15th. It's like, okay, just get it up and down. He's going to birdie. He's going to be 5-under. And who knows how he's going to finish the round. Then that chip goes in the water. He ends up making 2 double bogeys. And what do you know? He's 7 back again of the first round leader in this case, which was Justin Rose. So I did not add more on Friday. I was just like, you know what? Here we go again. I don't want to add necessarily anymore, but Rory at the Masters has been kind of like me sometimes, and maybe other bettors as well, on a college football Saturday or a big college basketball Saturday where you lose a couple in that early window and you start out like 0-2 or 0-3, and then you got to play catch up over the week, the rest of the card. And that's what Rory has had to do at the Masters. And sure enough, he finally did it here. So, yeah, I only got in at 4-1 on Thursday. But, you know, sometimes you lose with the best of the number, and sometimes you win with the worst of it. And I was the latter with
Rory. Yeah, when if he doesn't do that on 15 and 17 in round one, I go from, you know, I just win the one bet before the tournament. And then because he does that, it turns out to be a monster tournament, right? Because the opportunity for me anyway, because it just creates these opportunities that wouldn't have existed otherwise. Does this now, because now everybody's brain sort of toggles to, okay, the monkey's off his back with the Masters. He's got the career slam on his 11th try. Now he's got Quail Hollow for the PGA, where he's won multiple times, four times. He's got the Open Championship in his backyard. Is this a two or three major kind of year for him?
It could very well be, because we know, I think, like, time is on his side. He's only 35. He's still in relatively good health, because I remember years ago when Brooks won his fifth major, you're like, can he win 10 majors? And I lean toward the no, just because of the amount of other players out there and plus injuries. And we didn't even know LIB was going to be created at that point. But look, I think he can. But the biggest battle he's got to fight besides the injuries is complacency. You know, now he's finally done it. He's been trying to do this for 11 years. Now he's finally won the career Grand Slam. He could sit at the table with Jack and Tiger and Gary Player and Hogan, the whole nine yards. Can he fight that complacency? Does he have that drive to say, you know what, I want more. I want to get 10 majors. I want to be one of only four players to ever do it. So it very well could be, but it just, does the complacency set in?
I hear Jim Nance in my ear saying, and Gene Sarazen as well, Wes, as well.
Gene Sarazen, yes. Right. I don't want to forget Gene.
More with Wes on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Jack Olaquire. Hey, Gil, can you ask Kelly or Wes if all LIV golfers qualify for the PGA tournament? Asking for a brother. He might mean literally, because he has three brothers also with the first name, yeah, starting with J.
No, I'll have to check on who's actually qualified.
Wes may have the more clear answer on that. Ben Handorf, as a Looney Tunes viewer as a child, Gil, your southern accent is becoming more and more like Foghorn Leghorn. I say. Let me tell you something, Ben Handorf. It is absolutely based on Foghorn Leghorn. You're on to me. It's completely a Foghorn Leghorn. I'm actually doing Hootie Johnson as Foghorn Leghorn. Chris Heath, I'm coming in Thursday night for WrestleMania this weekend. Not my cup of tea, but friends of mine dig it. Last time I went was New Orleans, 2013. Couldn't pass on a trip to flaunt my Vegas lifestyle podcast knowledge. There you go, baby. Always flaunt the Vegas lifestyle knowledge.
I mean, like, I'd go.
Oh, I'd...
If, you know what I mean? Like, if it was free.
I'd go. I'd go, and then I'd probably leave.
Right, yeah. That's right. I'd like to check one out.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Rom, DeChambeau, Koepka, Hatton all in the field. Cam Smith.
And then Nevada Azer. Gil, Baldelli, first manager fired? He might be, if they continue like this, because even Sporer was perplexed. That is by far the worst of the seven monthly bets that we've made on this show. And I'm like Sporer. I'm kind of at a loss to explain it, to be honest with you. But yeah, if they continue like this, anything's possible for sure. With first manager fired. Now, does anybody put up that market? I don't know that they do.
I probably know the one shop that they're tweeting about.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, offshore.
Oh, where is this going to say it?
Around the world.
Okay.
I don't know. It's probably bet online. Probably.
Oh, Wager on the internet. Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us again for a second segment. Before we move on from the Masters, Wes, let me just ask you a couple other questions. Just one other question, actually, because we were saying earlier, things to file away, things that we've already known about the Masters, but like we have to just ingrain it in our heads, which is Patrick Reed is going to show up here every time. He finishes third outright. So we got to include Patrick Reed in bets moving forward, no matter what. And then Justin Rose has led after the first round five times. Like, I mean, is there something else we're missing where you have one of those where you're like, I must do this auto next time?
Well, you pointed out Reed, who now, by the way, vaults, who I had on an outright 100-1 before the tournament, he now vaults into the top 50. So now I believe that gets him in the rest of the majors because he's always qualified for the Masters being a former champion. So he is certainly in there. Justin Rose, man, that poor guy, he probably deserves better than what he got, you know, and not just yesterday, but over years, because he's been runner up twice. He should have beaten Sergio that year at the Masters, loses in a playoff. He's been second at the Open Championship twice. So, yeah, you feel like that guy deserves better. And he was all class afterwards, as you would expect out of Justin Rose. In terms of a future guy, I think that we see the potential with Ludwig Gobert that he's going to be a fixture in these major championships for a long, long time. And I think he's going to be a multiple time major winner. Just kind of made a mess of it at the end. I felt for the people that might have backed him on the top five because he goes bogey triple there at the end and ends up in seventh outright instead of in the top five. So look, I thought it was a great tournament. A lot of really good stories. It was nice to see Max Homa play well again, who had not played well basically since last year's Masters. So maybe he found something for Quail Hollow at the PGA next month where he has won before.
Do you have any PGA bets? Are they even up in multiple locations?
There are odds up now. Rory and Scotty are the co-favorites at 5-1. Now it's co-favoritism. It's been Scotty, then Rory. But Rory, by the way, has won four times at Quail Hollow for what was the Wells Fargo, now the Truist Championship, to start later this year. I will be looking at some guys that did play well other than Rory. He's certainly the obvious target with the four wins there. But you're going to start to see prices up. There maybe not be as up in as many places as the Masters was, because the Masters has been up for like 6 months basically. So yeah, you've got numbers at the PGA, so there's some ones to watch. And then we're getting into that spring swing here where we're going to be at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head this week. So you've got a lot of big names. Sans Rory, of course. I think Rory maybe knew, hey, I don't want to play this event in South Carolina. And it's probably a good thing, because I think a lot of us would be looking to bet against him after he had his career and life-defining moment here.
Yeah, I should have been clearer had they been up rampantly before this morning. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, both the short shots at 5-1. Everybody else, double digits. Okay, NFL draft 10 days away. You have a sort of macro take on this.
Well, and I'm not somebody that bets a lot of NFL draft, because I think the market has become a little bit more sophisticated, which is why bookmakers don't want to offer it, because they get beat on the NFL draft. And we've heard, you know, Derek Stevens, and I've spoken to other bookmakers and, you know, property owners like, yeah, we get killed on this thing, so we really don't want to book it, but we've got to say at least somewhat do right by our customers and have something up. I don't bet a lot of it, Gil, because I don't have a lot of time to focus on it. I think if you're, you know, really focused on it, you can do very well. But, you know, we're doing the golf stuff, obviously, the lead up to the Masters, and pretty much on a week to week basis. And then doing just your normal everyday betting, your NBA, your Major League Baseball, college basketball with March Madness. And it's like, you got to follow this so closely, because the market is going to move on like one Adam Schefter tweet. Like some agent is going to tweet him something and it's going to get put out there. And then all of a sudden the markets are going to be reacting. So you got to follow this very closely. But and I've been asked about this, because I had an interesting discussion on National Championship night last Monday night with a couple notable bettors and a couple notable bookmakers here in town. And there were different opinions all across the board. Some were like, oh, you got to book it, man. You got to put it up there. There's no inside information here. And it's like, it's all inside information. That's what it is. And it's all, you know, looking at this and absorbing who's telling the truth and who's lying. Because, by the way, just a public service announcement for the audience out there, GMs and agents lie. They don't always tell the truth to the media in terms of what they're looking for and who they're trying to draft. Yeah, the hell you say, right? Yeah, so you got to filter out what's real and what's the BS. And I side on the fact that I think that people should book this, but I don't think you have to put max limits on it. You know, you don't have to put and give, okay, I'm just going to give you any bet you want. I'm going to give you any limit you want, you know, on this. No, you don't have to do that if it doesn't go well for you. And because of the fact that the bet nature of the bet is different. But I kind of found myself in somewhat an analogous state yesterday with looking for some NBA player props. And yesterday, of course, you know that a lot of the starters sit. So you're going to have guys that are going to be playing a lot more minutes. Like Jaime Jaquez is going to play a lot more minutes for Miami. He might be out of the playoff rotation. So, of course, I'm looking for player props everywhere. And some of these guys you couldn't find. The bookmakers were not putting them up on the last day of the season. I'm like, put them up. Just give like really super low limits, you know, because the circumstances are different. So I think that there's a happy medium to be found here. I'm not one of those that say, hey, you got to give me any bet at any amount you want, or you're bad, or you're not doing right by your customer. You just put some stuff up for people to bet and yeah. Just lower the limits.
I'm with you. And also, it's not the ATM machine it used to be for us, right? The last 2 years weren't as good. So, I mean, maybe they shouldn't be as afraid, you know, period right. on it.
That's why I don't bet it, because I don't think I'm that good at it, because I'm not following it as closely as some others.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss if I let you go without asking you this. To the NBA, obviously, we have, as I was saying, the 4-5 and 3-6 series have already been established. That includes your Indiana Pacers. They're -210 in their series against the Milwaukee Bucks. They're also 4.5-point favorites in game one of that series on Saturday. Your feeling on the Pacers?
I feel like this is the Pacers series to win. They've kind of owned the Bucks over the last couple of years. And I know last year's series was when Giannis missed a couple games and Damian Lillard was out for a couple games. So people are kind of maybe thinking, okay, water's going to find its level and it's going to go the opposite way here. I don't necessarily think so. I think the Pacers have really been the kind of the Bucks kryptonite here a little bit. And I'm glad the Pacers actually got the Bucks instead of getting the Pistons. Even though the Pistons do not have a lot of playoff experience, the Pistons, I think, are that young, hungry team, kind of like what the Pacers were last year, where they eventually ran that to the Eastern Conference Finals. So at -$2, I think it's probably about priced right. And with a lot of these series prices too, you kind of trade in and out and lock in profit, right? A team goes down, go ahead and bet the dog if you have the dog on the other side. So, yeah, that's one way to play, I think, these NBA series prices. But I think that price looks right. I got to tell you, laying $4 on the Knicks is a little bit pricey. I'd be leaning the Pistons in that series. I think that's a little bit high for the Knicks, because you always worry about the Knicks, of what Tom Thibodeau does, what he did in Chicago, what he's done in New York. He beats these starters into the ground, and eventually your energy just gets sapped and you get this young, hungry Pistons team that's going to come in unafraid. That would be the dog of those four that's the most attractive to me.
Wow. Pistons +330. You had the same exact instinct.
I think the Knicks win that series, but man, I was that price. I was the most surprised by of these four that got posted.
Wes, you are the best, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
Wes Reynolds, everybody, at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one, of course, the co-host of the greatest golf podcast there ever was. Long shots. We will come back. NFL draft talk next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, it's time to plan your Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at three incredible properties: Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSIN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15, that's VSIN15, to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. Speaking of Derek Stevens and Circa, a bit of a sweat for them on old Matt McCarty for a while, huh?
Oh my gosh, yes. I bet there was some relief once yesterday hit.
Well,
he started to drop.
He ends up 3-under for the tournament, which, you know, was 8 back. But he was it up until, yeah, I guess it was up until Saturday.
I mean, he was in the mix on Saturday.
He was totally
though.
In the mix on Saturday.
You're talking weekend of the Masters. There was probably some uncomfortable sweating going on in the odds makers room back here at Circa.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Matt McCarty, and this was revealed by Mike Palm on By the Books, which precedes us with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, who do a fine bang-up job of a show before us every Monday through Friday morning. Where Mike Palm said, you know, what's the liability was the question. And he said, well, this guy, Matt McCarty, some dude rolled up in here, a referral, and was like, can we get, what was it? Was it 10,000 to win 10 million? I don't know what the numbers were.
He wanted to win 8 million.
He wanted to win 8 million. Yeah. That's correct. He wanted to win 8 million. And Jeff Benson was all for it, by the way, they said. And and then they talked Jeff down, and they said, no, but we'll do it for $2 million. So they gave him a quarter of the bet. And Matt McCarty was in it to win it for at least most of Saturday.
That was one of the biggest surprises of the tournament. If we would have been talking about that even if we didn't know about this bet. But wow,
you had never heard of him before.
I have no idea who the kid was.
And don't you do a golf podcast?
I do a golf podcast. I had no idea who the kid was.
We get tweets at beating the Boat.
This game is live, by the way.
This is college baseball.
Oregon and Georgetown playing right now in college baseball.
Oregon is playing Georgetown?
Yeah, I was wondering why this was all over the circus screens.
C. Spackler, doing Hootie Johnson as Foghorn Leghorn is a funny sentence regardless of use. I say, boy. Chance Copperpot, yo, I'm sorry, but if Wager on the Internet lets us bet on the weather, they damn well better let us bet the first MLB manager fired. Yeah, well, do what they do over there. I don't know how much they'll take on it. All right, NFL draft 10 days away.
Yeah.
Is there anything more fun to talk about than the NFL draft and NFL draft, man?
I love it. You know, we love it.
We love it. But listen, what Wes is saying is right. First of all, this used to be an ATM machine for us as bettors. And when I say ATM machine, I am not exaggerating. When I had NFL drafts, like going 12-1 and 8-0, and I was not alone. Like we used to crush this because the books weren't really as hip to the information game as we were. Last couple of years, not so much. I only have one bet so far. That's Travis Hunter to go number two, -135. You have more than that. Let's just go through some of these categories. And I will use, once again, Mel Kiper's last mock draft, his 473rd version, and Daniel Jeremiah's last mock, which was a little while ago. Mel's was just a few days ago. All right, quarterbacks. 2.5 is the over-under. The over's way juiced now at -475. This is courtesy of DraftKings. Both of those guys, last two, no surprise, have the over.
Yeah, so that price has gone up.
Okay.
I'm on the over. That one makes complete sense to me.
Okay. Now we get to one that gets a little interesting. Look at that running back's price. This was priced. This is set at 2.5 as well, over-under. The under was as heavily juiced as the quarterbacks when it was like in the -$300 range.
Oh, do you want to know what I laid on it?
What?
I laid -300 on over 2.5 quarterbacks. I laid -310 on under 2.5 running backs.
Okay, the under 2.5 running backs, the under is now down to -150. The over's +120. This has moved the juice anyway, significantly. And so, by the way, there's also consensus. Kiper's last draft, mock draft, and Jeremiah's last mock draft, just to use a couple guys, they both were on the under. What has changed here?
I don't know. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't get a chance. Somebody tweeted, I forget who, they tweeted at me, I think it was on Friday. They were like, hey, I was going to make some draft bets. Didn't you lay like -300 on this? Because this is looking juicy. And of course, I mean, when you see a move like that, right, Gil? I'm like, okay, what did I miss, right? And I'm like on my phone trying to find whatever. I couldn't figure out what I missed. So I don't know if, you know, respected money came in or whatever. But, that is down to -150.
So who's the third back? Is it Travion? Is it Scadabo? Like, what's the third? What are we assuming here? Or is this just a couple dudes making a few bets that moved it that much?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, I think it's supposed to be Henderson.
It's also the one where, like I was telling you this morning, I'm thinking, well, I need to make some NFL draft bets. It's only 10 days away. I need to make some beyond the one I have. And I was thinking about the quarterbacks and the running backs, thinking that they were the same price that they were. And it was actually the under 2.5 running backs that I liked better than the over 2.5 quarterbacks. And now it's come all the way down. I'm making this bet.
You've had big price moves in both, so I can tell you, I think it's easy to know which one to go bet right now.
I just can't imagine in this day and age where we're going to draft three running backs in the first round.
Yeah, I know. That's where, like, I understand the excitement for Genty. I understand that we saw a season in the NFL where running backs were important. But why? Like, we always have to ask why, right? Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry went to good teams. Like, they were good running backs on bad teams who went to good teams.
Saquon and Derrick Henry are also generational.
Correct. That went to great offenses already. Like,
Wide receivers also set at 2.5. The over heavily juiced, -270. Both Jeremiah and Kuiper's latest mocks have the over. So they're in consensus with those three first categories.
Is it three? Do you have... Oh, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. Is it three exactly that they have?
Good question. I can't remember. Okay. But they're both over. Offensive lineman is where it starts to get a little interesting. This is set at 6.5. The under is juiced at -200. Jeremiah's last one, he was under. He's with the favorite. Kuiper's last one, he went over 6.5. I want to say he had 8.
Yeah, see, this is like kind of going back to what you said about running backs. Just like, if I was just going to go automatically one way or the other, it'd be over on offensive linemen. Like,
what, plus 150?
So valuable.
Absolutely. Defensive lineman / edge set at 8.5. The over slightly juiced at -140. Both Kuiper and Jeremiah went under at +110.
Yeah, that was one that I was a little surprised. I hadn't really looked at much.
8.5 is a lot.
Yeah, I hadn't really looked into that one as much. I typed these up and started looking around at that one because I thought, like, look, there's a lot. There's supposed to be several early, right? I wasn't sure after later in the draft who we really get.
Well, it also doesn't include linebackers, so that, you know, that's not part of that as well.
You're right.
And then there's cornerbacks. Again, specifically cornerbacks, not secondary, but specifically cornerbacks. The under is heavily juiced, under 4.5 at -295. Kuiper went under, but Jeremiah went over. I think he had 5 corners going.
Okay. All right.
I'll have to double check that, but I think that's right. So that's a little interesting as well. Now when we get to the top 10, this is, so will a player be drafted in the top 10 or not? That's a market you can bet as well. I will say that both, again, just, and we're just relying on these two guys, take it for what it's worth, but two big names in the mock game, Kuiper and Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been rock solid through the years. It's not the biggest favorites. They're all in consensus. So Mason Graham, Will Campbell, Jalen Walker, Ashton Gentry, Armand Membuth, all of those guys, and Shedeur Sanders, by the way. Both Jeremiah and Kuiper all have them going top 10. Those, the 6 in the left column there that are all heavily juiced, including Sanders, by the way, who the Saints conveniently are at 9, and now we don't know about Derek Carr anymore. We don't know if Derek Carr's playing football this year.
Yep.
So they went all in on those 6 guys on the left. As far as what's on the right...
This one's interesting, too, just if, like, I always like this market, Gil, because compare to draft positions, right? Whenever we see these top 10s, top 5s, some of these guys are expected to go early. Just to compare the pricing to draft positions, and you might sway you one way or the other in each market.
Yeah, as far as the guys on the right side, Kuiper had Tyler Warren going to the Bears at 10. That's the only one of the guys on the right. And we're talking Will Johnson, Jackson Dart, Michael Williams, Teteroa McMillan, Kelvin Banks Jr. That's the only one that either Jeremiah or Kuiper had going top 10.
Really?
Which is Kuiper taking Warren top 10.
Jeremiah doesn't have Warren top 10?
He does not.
Wow.
Not his latest. Anyway.
I was actually considering making that bet.
Of course, he's due for a new mock here pretty soon.
Warren top 10, I that might be a bet I'm on. It is. I mean, I think the two tight ends are extremely coveted, it sounds like, this year. But, man, I think Tyler Warren, I think he ends up going top 10. I did make a bet. I bet McMillan to go top 10 here.
Oh, you did?
I took a shot at 5-1. 5-1 was up at MGM when they posted. I took a shot there. I think big play wide receiver, there's a chance a team gets greedy and goes after him.
Well, I love Teteroa McMillan. Love his game. Is Jeremiah going to do that thing where he waits till like the last day to put out his last mark?
I mean, I don't blame him, but he does go a lot of time in between his.
And then he'll do like the group press conferences. All of our bets next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, un partido de números, live from Circa. It's time for our GBank Best Bets of the Day. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Not much on today's show. We're sort of reveling in the Masters. I did bet Iga Świątek to win Stuttgart. The clay court tournament at Stuttgart, which she has won multiple times before. Got her at +140. You could probably find a better price. Guess what, though? Not in Nevada, because they don't exist.
Not even over at stations?
Oh, I didn't check stations. Maybe I should check stations.
Well, have you not learned anything this tennis season? Let's go. hold on. I'm guessing. Hold on, Brendan. Yes, I did spell Stuttgart right. You can take that. That's right.
Do you know Stuttgart. What, you know what happens at Stuttgart if you win this tournament? Not only do you win money, you also win a Porsche.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love when, like, the golf tournaments or whatever. Uh-oh, I turned on Siri somehow. Go away, Siri. I love when the golf tournaments or tennis tournaments do random stuff like that. It's like, hey, here's a big check and then, like, a Honda something. You're like, cool.
Iga looking to win her third tournament at Stuttgart.
Porsche is a little different.
You got anything?
I do. I do have I got a few NBA plays I made on openers last night. Okay, for play-in, Heat Bulls, I went under 220. That is one I'm struggling to understand a little bit with that total. Look, I think there's a lot of people that just look to play the unders on these play-in tournaments anyways. I think, or the play-in games anyways. I think that makes a lot of sense. But Heat Bulls specifically, this is just a Miami offense that to me has, look, they've been great recently. If you just look like past 10 games, the offense has actually been really good, but I don't really trust them in a big time matchup like this game, like this game is going to be. These playing games are massive, and the Bulls, it's so reliant on Josh Giddey. I don't know exactly where the rest of that offense is coming from. Meanwhile, the Heat always bring good defense and hard defense during the playoffs. So I do like the under in that one. Laid the 4.5 with the Pacers in game one on Saturday against the Bucks. Would expect we see that get up to five, maybe 5.5. And then if Dame news comes down, who knows where else that goes. And then also played the Pacers series price over the Bucks at -195 and Clippers series price over the Nuggets +130.
You did not play the Nuggets though. You think it's mispriced, but you didn't go ahead and pull
Knicks,
the trigger.
Knicks, you mean?
Excuse me. Yeah, the Pistons versus the Knicks.
Yeah, it is. I feel bad being that guy because someone did ask me for what did I think that series price was going to be, and I thought it was going to be Knicks like -350 or something like that. It is way higher. I think there's value on that Pistons number, but I still over the course of seven games, I got a hard time seeing the Pistons beating the Knicks. I think JVT played the over on that series, like over 5.5 games. I think that's a good look. Or if you wanted to take games with the Pistons, that's how I'd play it.
NBA playoffs is still awesome.
Oh,
I wish the first round wasn't best of seven, but still.
They're great. I'll be honest. I mean, I've talked about it a lot on this show, and I've talked a lot about it with you. Past couple NBA regular seasons, past 2 years, I've had great betting NBA regular seasons. Last year, I think this will always stick in my mind for the end of time. I was up 44 units in the regular season last year in the NBA. I gave 20 back in the playoffs. So I will be cautious this time around when it comes to playoffs.
And I have made the point that you're almost, for the playoffs, you're almost better off not being an NBA hardo sometimes.
Yeah, no.
Just showing up for the playoffs. Carl Sack, he's on the Warriors, -6.5. Tomorrow, play-in game 7-8. The winner is the 7 seed in the Western Conference and will be up against the 2 seed Houston Rockets. Warriors, 6.5-point favorites tomorrow against the Grizzlies. And he's on the Bulls in the Eastern Conference 9-10 game. Bulls at a pick'em in the 9-10 game. That is on Wednesday night.
I was trying to find this the Heat note. Sorry, that's what I was stumbling over. How about past 12 games? Second best offensive rating in the league for the Heat, right? But if you go back the past 26 games, 21st.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a weird split.
I would never touch that game because I cannot go up against the Heat in these moments.
Yeah.
Just as principle.
I'm glad you brought that up. For the side, I lean the Bulls too. Like Carl, I lean that way, but kind of what you said, nah, I'm good. I'll play the total. I don't need to bet the side there.
I don't need to go up against Spoelstra. I just want to read this one tweet from Rhodes at Rhodes Knows. He says, can you guys discuss the pros cons of drafting best player available versus drafting need? Thanks for the great show. Thank you for the kind comment. This gives us an opportunity to sort of say, as a betting show, we are not going to sit up here and try to act like, you know, we're talent evaluators, because we're not. We're all about winning bets in the NFL draft. I could go on about, you know, that the draft is a game that GMs should recognize as a game against other GMs in front offices, and they should play the draft that way, largely. But in terms of drafting best player available versus drafting need, that's going to be a per-team, you know, per-team situational answer to that question. But we're really not about that. We're not about evaluating talent. We're just about getting the draft right. And to the extent that the props will actually be up in any kind of volume, we will try to exploit that. I will say this also on a football note, because we didn't bring this up last week, and shame on us for not doing so. But our own Brent Musburger, founder of VSiN, one of the founders of VSiN, longtime, of course, play-by-play announcer for those of us of a certain age. He was the NFL, and specifically the NFC, when he hosted the NFL Today in the 70s and 80s, and I believe into the early 90s, so don't hold me to that, along with Phyllis George and then Jane Kennedy in that seat, Jimmy the Greek, obviously Irv Cross as well, Jack Whitaker with his essays for some time. But Brent was inducted, or is going to be inducted, into the NFL Hall of Fame, Kelly. He will receive the 2025 Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award, recognizing broadcast excellence in pro football. And Brent certainly measures up to that standard, said Jim Porter, president and CEO of the Hall of Fame. Brent will get himself a gold jacket. He will be there honored during the 2025 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement week. That includes the enshrinee's gold jacket dinner in downtown Canton Friday, August 1st, and then the class of 2025 enshrinement on Saturday, August 2nd. So congratulations to our own Brent Musburger. To say it's well-deserved is the understatement of all time.
I mean, you know what my first thought was when you were reading that?
He's not in already?
Yeah. How does it possibly take this long?
Well,
but congratulations to Brent. That is incredible. That's awesome. What an honor.
Remember Super Bowl Sunday a couple years ago, we were on, and that they aired the NFL Today documentary that morning. And I remember coming on and just being like, how is this man not in the Hall of Fame? We got to get him in the Hall of Fame. And here he is. He's in. And it couldn't happen to a more deserving person. I just wonder, does he have someone, you know how the enshrinees, they have someone introduce them, like their son or wife or whatever. Does Brent get that as well? Is he going to have like Greg Peterson induct him into his family? How does that work?
I would reversal? Pay to see that. Yeah, I would pay to see
Greg
that.
Greg paying back Brent for all of his great intro work?
He means a lot to both you and me. I mean, if we're talking about VSiN and sports betting content being the second half of a career or the second part of my career, I owe it all to Brent. I would not be here if I wasn't able to run into him a couple times in South Florida, talk to him. And as soon as I saw the Musburger name attached to this company, it's what brought me out to Las Vegas to want to work here to work for the Musburger. So
none of us would be here without Brent. That is for sure. So congratulations to Brent, and we look forward to that day in August, as I'm sure he is as well. Before we leave and give way to Stormy here, play-in games tomorrow and on Wednesday. You made a couple plays in these games?
I think these are, I think overall from the betting standpoint, they're pretty gross. We talked about it more off air.
Carl was way high on the Warriors.
Have you heard Carl is confident on anything since he started doing regular guest spots with us?
Well, yes, but I was surprised that, because that's a big number.
It's a big number.
It was 7, and then, I should say this, it was 7, and then as Carl gave that out, it's now 7.5. So I don't know if Carl was a did I do that kind of thing.
There's a lot of 7 still available.
Okay, but I'm seeing 7.5 offshore now. So Carl was surprised when he was on that it had ticked down to 6.5, which is where he got it.
Yeah,
but
those are gone.
Those are gone. So that's the Grizzlies. That's the Grizzlies traveling to San Francisco to take on the Warriors tomorrow night. The second of the two games, the Hawks and the Magic. Are those staggered starts? Yeah, no, one finishes before the other starts.
Yeah,
good.
It's 7:30 and then 10 Eastern.
Hawks Magic early. Oh, that's excitement.
For the third time in the past, like, what, 6 days, I think it is.
What'd you end up betting?
Heat Bulls under 220. It's more, there's 219 and a halves out there. I would still lean that way. That's the only bet I have in the play-in games. Mavericks Kings. It's kind of interesting to me. This is, I can't believe I'm really considering this, but if it gets over 5, I might end up on the Dallas side.
Kings favored by 5 in the 9-10 on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think that's, the Kings have not been all that impressive to me lately. So that one, look, Hawks Magic I want nothing to do with. I do think Orlando takes care of them. I think the Warriors are, I would look at them, look, money line in a, if you're doing money line parlay or something or looking at a game on Saturday, I do think they are a good leg. If you love the Knicks Warriors money line parlay, I got nothing. I have no problems.
Congratulations to everybody who had Rory in some form and all the golf bets that you hit. What a day of golf. What a day of sports. What was Will's line? Imagine not liking sports after that drama yesterday.
Matt Brown had a winner.
Money Moves next with Stormy and Matt. Enjoy.